You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here today, New Year's Eve. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your New Year's Eve here with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. This is WGOD Radio. We're tuning into God's frequency now. We're going to hear some words, a lot of words from him today. We're in Romans chapter 11. This sermon is entitled, What's Up with Israel? Part 2. Part 1 was chapters 9 and 10. Now today we're going to get to the culmination of what's God's plan with the nation of Israel. There's good news for them, and I'll tell you what, there's tragic and bad news for everyone else out here. It's going to hinge on one little word. The word is until. Might be tomorrow until we uncover that, but that's where we're going to be at. This will play today and tomorrow. The sermon is available, the video, on YouTube, on the Island Community Church YouTube page. You will find that, What's Up with Israel, Part 2. It's a tragic word. What's going to happen when God resumes his plan with the nation of Israel? And I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe today, but that's where we're going to be, and that's this sermon. This will play today. This will wrap up tomorrow. The video is available on the Island Community Church YouTube channel. You'll find that on there. Happy New Year to everyone. God bless. Let's get into the Word.
Now, Pastor Darren will be preaching next Sunday, as is his tradition, at the end of the year or first week of the new year, and I don't know what he's working on. I'm excited. I'll be here, and I can't wait to hear it. So that'll be next week as we bring in 2026. Okay, are we rolling, Danny? Are we rolling, madam? Okay, does everyone have one of these handouts here for today? If you need one of these, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Everyone's good. I want to say welcome to those listening in on the radio here as well, Wednesday and Thursday, and thanks for having us tuned in here today on your radio dial, and those on YouTube as well. Okay, now we're up to Romans chapter 11. I've entitled this sermon, What's Up with Israel, Part 2. If you remember where we left off here in Romans, the Apostle Paul was explaining to us what happened to Israel. That's where we left off. That they tried to get right with God by keeping the law instead of getting right with God by doing salvation and right standing his way. You know, everyone wants to do it their own way, it seems, and I'm sorry to tell you that it just does not work that way. You're not in the position, neither do you have the authority to make up your own rules as you go along. God is God. He is the one who's established the ways and means for how to get right with him and how to be assured that when you die and leave this world, that you will be accepted into heaven. And not only that, he is the giver of true everlasting peace. And there's only one way you can attain peace with God, and that way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot walk in peace by just being a good person. Now, after all that Paul has said in these last two chapters, Once again, he anticipates the conclusion his readers are going to arrive at. We're in Romans chapter 11. If you guys have a Bible, Romans chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 1. I have fit as many verses as I can on the handout, but I can't fit them all. So you'll notice on there it's going to skip. I got 1 through 8 and then 20 through 29. We're not even going to get to verse 29, but there hopefully is a Bible on this seat in front of you if you don't have one. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. He says, I say then, has God cast away his people? What does he say? Meganoito. This church has learned Greek. Meganoito means God forbid. Or as they say in Jersey, what are you, crazy? The word forbid and God is not in it, but I love the way the King James Version's translated that, because it's an emphatic, vein-popping, you must have lost your ever-loving mind. He's not done with Israel. He's not done with someone because of sin, and aren't you glad about that? I mean, imagine if he was done with someone because of sin, who could stand? I say then, back from the top, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I too am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now the logical question to ask after chapters 9 and 10 is Israel toast? Is God finally going to give up on Israel and focus on the Gentiles instead? He then proceeds to emphatically deny the thought, then give two examples to prove his point. His first example is himself. His second example is Elijah the prophet. Both Paul and Elijah are proof that God still has a plan for Israel. Pastor Darren's been on this morning, about how this was part of God's plan for them to fall, but we look and we see. Now, Elijah thought he was the last one left, and God hasn't given up on Israel. Both Paul and Elijah are proof that God still has a plan for Israel, though Elijah is an odd example to me since he lived pre-cross. Because if anything, if God were ever not to keep his promise, and that's a terrible sentence in its own right. How do you get not keep promises and God in the same sentence? But if God ever were to not keep his promise regarding Israel, perish the thought, it would be due to the cross and unbelief and Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the very Son of God. So again, back from the top. Has God cast away his people? Meganoito, God forbid. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. There's that word again, foreknew. Prognosis, right? We've been looking at that last 3 weeks in here. Prognosis, to know something in advance, like the weatherman. What's your prognosis? High around 90, partly cloudy and humid. And they pay those guys $100,000 a year to say that? We're in the wrong profession. Prognosis. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And why is that word back with us again? I thought he was done with all this predestination teaching. Answer, nope. This is all the same train of thought with him. He hasn't changed subjects. What he's saying is this. Inasmuch as you were foreknown, predestined, and marked out in advance, that same foreknowledge and marking out for salvation applies to the people of Israel, not just you. It even applies to the twins. Remember, we looked at twins a few weeks ago. It says the twins not yet being born, nor having done anything good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Everyone with me so far? What does this mean? This means that Israel's stumble and fall was known about long before it happened. He hasn't changed subjects. Back in chapter 8, remember he said, those he foreknew, these he's predestined to look like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his son. He hasn't changed subjects. He's just applying this not only to you, now he's applying it to Israel. He's not changing subjects. As you can tell from verse 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. It's all a key part of God's plan. Now, back again from the top. I say that, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Meaning he could say, how do you account for me if he's cast off his people? I'm a Jew, how do you account for me? God has not cast away his people, verse 2, whom he foreknew. Don't you know what your Bible says about Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, he said. And they're trying to kill me. What does the divine response say to him? Verse 4, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In other words, don't you fret, Elijah. You're not the last one. You're not the last Jew around here that believes. I still have a core group of people who have faith. Though it might not seem that way at the moment, you're not the last one. There are still other Jews here that believe. He's quoting 1 Kings chapter 17 with that. Now, verse 5, even so then, at the present time, there is a remnant, that is a few scattered believing Jews, one here, one there. They're scattered around the world, Jews that believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That's what this word remnant means. Even so, at the present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it's by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And if it's works, then it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. He gets caught up in this. He's saying, it's grace, not by works. You can't work for this. You can't earn it. It's grace. Grace is something that's freely given to you. If you worked for it, then you earned it, and you have it coming to you. But if your salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, then you haven't worked for it. Rather, it's the gift from God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, now verse 7. And the tale of two people. Verse 7. You and your Jewish friend. Your Jewish friend at school. Your Jewish friend at your job. Your Jewish friend in your neighborhood that lives down the street from you. Verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, which was what, church? How to get right with God. That's what they were seeking. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect, that would be you, and the relatively few Jews that do believe. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, meaning This is God's plan all along. He's not changing subjects. This is God's plan all along. As it is written way back in the Old Testament. Now, check this out. Look at the current spiritual condition of the nation of Israel today. It's right here in this verse. Look what it says, these next three words. I'm in Romans 11:8. Look what it says. God has given. God has given them a spirit of stupor. Eyes that they... Now, I advise you, don't go preaching this in Israel, or you're going to get scalped. But as they say in modern vernacular, hey, it is what it is. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, down to this very day. Wow, did you catch that? Look at their virus and look at who gave it to them. Look at their virus, because they're infected with a virus, and look at who gave it to them. First three words, God has given. As for what he's given to them, look what it says. He's given them, it says, a spirit. Do you see that? A spirit. A spirit of stupor. We could call that zombification. Is that a word? It is now, isn't it? Write that down in Pastor Paul's Dictionary of Approved Words. And that is how said person can end up outside of this vine. Unbelief. And then you walk around, brains, zombie. God has given to them. Greek word katanuxis. Kind of, it's very similar to the Greek word catatonic. It's katanuxis. Nuxeos is the Greek word for why snorest thou? That's why some translations, I think the King James Version calls it what, Sharon? A spirit of slumber. Sleepwalking through, and it don't come from the devil. No, due to unbelief. This came from God. Which is why I'm against every Tom, Dick, and Harry going over there to Israel, smashing every Jew over the head, clubbing them with a hammer, trying to get them to, who's put them... Where did I hear this today? This was your Sunday school sermon this morning. Everyone wants to go to Israel and club these Jews over the head and say, believe. But look how they got in this spiritual condition. God's put them there. I'm just the preacher. But understand that it's unbelief is what gets you in this position. Not sin. We'll get to that. Unbelief gets you here. That word stupor, akatanuxeos, means a senseless mental condition. And God's given it to them. Who wants that to happen to them? I mean, count me out. It was bad enough when I used to do that to myself. I've got 20 plus years of putting myself in a senseless mental condition, stupor. Paul Esposito, king of the zombies. But I did that to myself. God has done this to the nation of Israel. God has done this to the nation of Israel. It's just as much of the prothesis. Remember when I dropped that Bible down there? And I showed you thesis, God's prothesis. What's happened to Israel is just as much of the prothesis of God as you coming into the faith. Now, contrary to that, would be all the unbelieving Gentiles out here in the world today. That's 2 Corinthians 3:4. That says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you see, that's the devil, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Now, I'm reading 2 Corinthians 3:14. You guys compare the two. The nation of Israel, God's given them a spirit of stupor. Unbelieving Jews, the God of this world has blinded the minds who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who was the icon of God, should shine unto them. Again, notice the big distinction. The devil's blinded the minds of the Gentiles, while God has afflicted the minds of the Jewish people with a stupor, better yet, a spirit. Why would he do that? Answer, in my opinion, it's none of my business. Who am I to answer that question? But I could say, in my opinion, perhaps he did that because of you, because this is all part of his master plan, that due to Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the gospel was then taken to you. You see, indeed, the Bible says, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those that love God. He can even take this terrible thing that's happened and turn it around for good. Due to Israel's rejection of the gospel, we hear scriptures like this, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Now, next rhetorical question. Verse 11. Romans 11:11. I won't keep you more than another hour, hour and a half. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. The Holy Spirit's anticipating disagreements with this, naturally. I say then. Now, here, the natural thought would be, well, these guys are toast, right? I mean, they got a spirit. Now, I don't mean Casper. Sent from God. So naturally, the next brain thought's got to be, well, man, oh man, these guys are some serious toast. Look what's happened to them. So I say then, have they stumbled so that they should fall? Look at it as another place for God forbid. Certainly not. God forbid. But through their fall, you see, I've answered the question already. For the reason why. Here it is right here. Keep reading. Through their fall, to provoke them, that's the Jews, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to you, the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and if their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, down to verse 17. Paul, again, anticipates his readers now to be filled with pride over this, thinking that they're better than the Jews because they themselves are saved, or to use the word elect, right? I can hear it now. I can look at a nursery rhyme, right? God voted for me. God voted for me. I won the election. I won the election. You know, better be careful with that train of thought or you're going to end up like a politician on the news, right? Man, oh man, would Donald Trump ever have a field day with that one, huh? God voted for me. God voted for me. You see how it's easy now? God voted for me, but you're walking around with Casper, the friendly ghost. See how your head can puff up like a watermelon if you're not careful? God voted for me, and you got Casper. And he's going to say now, better watch out now what you're thinking here. Don't swell up too big here, watermelon head. Now, like I said, while at the same time these Jews over here, well, you can even apply the same rationale today. These Jews over here, right? Now, you're elect. God's gone into his booth. He's voted for you. While these poor Jews over here, you've got rejected by God, rejected by men. They're hated by people worldwide. They're burned by the millions and incinerators because of their nationality. All the world hates the Jew. While little old you, chosen, marked out in advance, called, justified, saved, glorified. Now, Paul anticipates that attitude, and pride starting to creep in because of all this. I'm elected and you're not. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 17. Now, in verse 17, Paul's going to compare the people of God to an olive tree. Again, this is where you were at this morning in Sunday school. Paul's going to compare the people of God to a tree, an olive tree, with Israel being the main tree and the Gentiles grafted in to the original tree. Like my mother's tree. My mother had what was called back in the day a tangelo tree, which produced a new type of orange. It was a hybrid orange from grafting together a branch from a tangerine tree into an orange tree. And the end result was a new type of fruit. Voila, you've got what comes out every November, a tangelo. I don't even think they exist anymore. Rots and canker's gotten all of them. So that's what he's talking about, verse 17. Here we go. Now, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them you became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, well, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Then he says, well, correctamundo.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.